I came across an article this week from a blind lady living down south, down the London area, and her complaint, and I don't say it's a complaint, her fear is that every time she goes out with her white cane in town, it always ends up getting kicked away from her. And not maliciously, but it's just with the busy streets. And she wore a webcam and illustrated this. I thought I'd chat to our white cane warrior, Paul Quigley, down in Manchester about this. Hello, sir.
Hello, Simon. How you doing? All right?
I'm all right, my friend. And you're a white cane user, and you fairly recently moved to the area where you live now. Are you familiar with this kind of thing?
Well, I am. In some respects, yes. There is with so many people, of course, you know, being in Manchester, near to Manchester now, and of course, as you quite rightly said, with the lady being in London, that there is, you know, where there's a lot of people, they can't always react in time to the white cane being swept from left to right, because that's how you tend to use it. You sweep the cane from the left across to the right, and then you step into the space you've just cleared. That's the overall technique of cane usage. So if you're in a built-up area and there are a lot of people on pavements, they sometimes, they're, you know, most of the time, they're looking at their smartphone, or they're looking down, aren't they, or into the shop windows. So they're not looking where they're going. These are the sighted folks, of course. And so for us, walking towards them, hoping that they are being vigilant, we end up clattering into their heels, ankles, and all sorts of things, Simon. So yes, it can happen. It happens invariably, obviously, in built-up areas. Not so much when you're on, you know, rural areas, but it can still happen.
Because generally when you see somebody coming with a cane, a lot of people just tend to give them a wide berth, don't they?
They do. I think, you know, that is what we expect, really, is that we make the sweep of the arc from left to right, right back to left and onwards as we're moving along. And invariably, you know, if I'm walking with someone, they'll say, you know, that you're being given a wide berth here. Don't worry, everyone's getting out of your way. You know, it's like the parting of the wave sort of thing. And so, yeah, that's how it is. But it can be bad. It can be bad because people, obviously, they cut across you. You know, like drivers often get cut up, from what I'm told. Not that I could drive, obviously, anymore. But it's similar in the land of the white cane warrior as well, is that you can be cut up from left, right, who people aren't paying attention. And you can wonder why your stick suddenly turned into what feels like a hockey stick. It's got a bend in it, and it's because someone's put their foot on the bottom of it. But normally, you know, you just say, and they say, sorry, saying, and on. I've never as yet had any calamities or calamitous collisions thus far. And most of the time it's been fairly good natured. But I am 6'1" and 14 stone, which kind of helps.
Yeah, I suppose so. Because, I mean, I think in your experience, most of the time, and I would imagine in most people, generally you get an apology, don't you?
You do. Often that you do get an apology, and, you know, and it's nice to have that apology. And I think the actual protocol or the manners is normally it's second to none. And most people are very, very kind, very, very generous. And it's only the rare exception that this happens. So I wouldn't want to put anybody off doing it, or people who haven't as yet learned the white cane not to do so. I think you should very much go do so because of, you know, independent living and all that good stuff. And it gets you out and about. So you must do it. I mean, I was in denial about using the white cane, as to carry on from our talk recently about denial of the eyesight loss, and white cane training was part of that. And going, and that sort of seeing oneself, or perceiving, should I say, oneself as being different now when you've lost your sight. I didn't want to be that person, but once you cross that Rubicon and you're out there, you're doing it, it's a liberating thing to do. And, you know, you can't allow the odd person who might step on your cane or trip over, or maybe somebody, even my worst scenario nightmare would be someone in a wheelchair who's not paying attention, who seems to think that they have pecking order rights over you, which I believe, or according to my sister, who also has sight loss, she was telling me where she crossed across Birmingham New Street railway station about 2 weeks ago, and somebody in a wheelchair cut her up and just completely ignored her. And she said she was absolutely flabbergasted that there was almost like, well, I'm in a wheelchair, I have more pecking order rights as a disabled person than you do, because she only had a simple cane. She didn't have the long white cane. She had just the shorter white cane in front. And obviously either the person in the wheelchair didn't see it, or literally didn't recognize the symbol cane. So she was rather miffed, I suppose, is a way of putting it. So, yeah, there's all sorts of protocol issues, Simon.
Oh, yeah, and the thing is, you run the risk, if you let this put you off, you run the risk of becoming more isolated, or only going out when you've got a friend with you or a member of the family, sort of thing.
Absolutely. And of course, there's never any rule of thumb with this sort of thing. You've just got to get out and do it, because there's never only going to be any one time. I mean, every few days, as you know, I'm a big gym aficionado, for obvious reasons, for that's, you know, not just the social isolation aspect, but for the actual physical keep fit. And if I were to actually take that, you know, I've got to cross main roads to get to where I need to get to from A to B. And I have to, every time I do it is different. You know, that every parked car is in a different place. Every wheelie bin is in a different place. Street furniture, I've got to know where that is, because that's permanent. But other objects that are, you know, not fixed, you have to, and bicycles leaning up against curbs, all that sort of stuff. You have to be wary. And I wouldn't want to, and of course, then there are people walking at you. So it's all of that stuff. You've just got to think, this is how it is. This is how white cane usage is. And, you know, having an even temper is actually a very good thing, because if someone is going to knock into your cane, it's going to happen. And I don't think anybody would do that deliberately. I just don't think even the most people having a bad day would ever go and kick someone's white cane because they've thought, oh, that's a good idea. I'll do that today. No. So I just think it's going to be an accident anyway. So if you just go, oh, sorry, it normally helps. And you never know, you might meet your next partner.
Oh no, I might have known. It's funny, I had a friend years ago, and used to walk up Princess Street in Edinburgh on a really busy, I think the festival was on actually, and he was a white cane user, and I used to just walk behind him, because he used to just motor. He was over 6 foot, he motored through the crowd, just tap tap tap, and people just got out his way. Until one day, he cornered. I think it was a Japanese tourist, and the chap stopped in front, and he ended up. It was almost like he did a Highland Fling, jumping up and down over his cane, because he didn't know where to go.
Oh, hey, the new all the way from Tokyo.
We used to call him Moses, because he just parted crowds as he went through. It was great.
I love it. Absolutely. Well, that's confidence for you, isn't it? You know, steaming through the crowd. And I think most people do get out of the way. Everyone I've ever walked with says, everyone's getting out of your way. Don't worry. You know, you don't have to go that quickly, because everyone is standing left and right. And, you know, women with buggies and small children, even most of the time, they manage to get the kiddies out of the way so you don't flatten them, you know, because you're marching along the road. I mean, I don't march at a speed where I'm going to, you know, clatter into anything anyway, because if it weren't a human, it could be a lamppost that I haven't been on a stretch of pavement before or something like that. So, I mean, I don't tend to charge along like I used to think I could and end up clattering into lampposts and bollards invariably. So now I go at a pace where if I am going to collide with anything, it's not going to do me, hopefully, touch wood, you know, terminal mobility damage, so I won't go charging along. So if it's a human whose leg's sticking out or bicycle sticking in the way, it's not going to hurt me. I think that's the thing you've got to think about. Number one, you've got to make sure, am I going at a speed here where if I do whack someone and they're not paying attention and they haven't seen McCain or whatever, that is, am I going to come off the worse on this anyway? And of course, you've got to slow down. So always give yourself another 10 minutes on a journey so that you can slow down, take it nice and easy, and stop and, you know, get your bearings if needs be. You know, sometimes that often happens. You can actually lose where, you know, where you are if you haven't got. I don't actually use those. I was just thinking about those GPS little things that, like Google handheld, they're often, they, in theory, they sound great, and for people who can see, they must be marvelous. But I can't even see the screen to navigate where it says next left. Well, at the shop, you know, the so-and-so. Well, I can't see any of these landmarks whatsoever, so it's completely useless for me. So you have to, in other words, the point is you have to slow down. I have to walk quite slowly anyway, you know, and that's not the point. You know, it's not a race. Life isn't a race anyway. So as long as you're not late for your dental appointment, and even so, you ring forward and tell the people that you're going to be a bit late because of your eyesight. And, you know, why wouldn't anyone say, yeah, that's absolutely fine, and rejig their schedule? So, yeah, there's never a reason not to do it, people. That's my advice to everybody, is to just go ahead and do it. There will be idiots who are not paying attention and, you know, looking at their Facebook face thing on the phone, and they're looking down rather than where they're going. Yeah, it's going to happen. But, you know, so long as you're not going to come up off the worst for it, Simon, I think we should get out there and keep doing it no matter what.
Now, I'm speaking as somebody who doesn't use a white cane at the moment, and will be going for some training fairly shortly on it. And yeah, I'm like you. I'm still in that kind of denial phase, but it's part of where we live, and it's part of our life. So you've just got to accept it and take the rough with the smooth, I think.
Absolutely. It's a perfectly natural way of feeling is moving, that transition from one sighted to unsighted. It's perfectly natural to feel like rejection of this, because you kind of think, am I going to be seen as a lesser individual or whatever? And of course, the answer is no, you're not. You know, we know about the Equalities Act. We know that we've got equal rights to access anything and everything as everybody else does. And we must be bold and confident about that, you know, no matter what happens. And acceptance, social acceptance, is part of our independent living trend, really, that we have to be accepted. And the more that they see us out there doing what we need to do, the more that people will keep out of the way. Hopefully collisions will be a thing of the past, Simon, a thing of the past.
Well, Paul and I would love to hear your experiences and maybe some of your techniques as well. You can email me here. It's radio@rnib.org.uk. Or you can get us through Facebook or on the website. And, of course, don't forget RNIB's advice line on 0303 123 9999. In the meantime, though, always a pleasure, never a chore. Nice to chat with you, Paul Quigley.
Thank you too, Simon. And I look forward to seeing one of your Highland jigs very soon.